All right, chapter 3 is long as hell, so we're going to get right into it. No anecdotes, no little skits. We can't do any, like, hey, remember back in the 90s? That was cool. No, can't do none of that. This chapter's too damn long.
Hi, I'm Bill, and I absolutely love old video games. But I didn't have anyone to play with, so I decided to start the Super Switch Club. That's right, a podcast dedicated to discussing and reliving the nostalgia of retro video games that are also on the Nintendo Online Virtual Library.
Relang. What the fuck, Star Tropics?
This is Troidal Power from the Power Playthroughs Podcast.
Hi again, it's Dan.
Hello, Scott here. You can find me at twitch.tv/the_Scott_spot.
Hey guys, Varric's back again.
Hey folks, this is Brett from Skeleton House.
This is Eric Slater from Epic Fails of History and the Nerdiagram Podcast.
Hey everyone, this is Caslo25. I'm a Twitch streamer and YouTuber focusing on RPGs with a special focus on Final Fantasy XIV.
This is Jay.
Hello, this is Keldranos for the Super Switch Club.
Hello, this is Josh from the AOLP Discord.
G'day, it's Elise.
Hey, so this is Mike from Mike's Unedited Let's Plays, and hopefully a bunch of other stuff by the time this comes out. Who knows? I have things in mind.
What's up, everybody? My name is Johnny, co-host of the Rapper's Corner.
Hi, yes, I'm Bill. This is my over-the-top voice to let you know that I am from the RPG Years podcast with Frost.
Hey, it's Zach from the Neatcast and Podcasters Assemble.
I sound a bit like Captain Hook.
Hello, Douglas Gale here.
It's Frost.
This is Ben from Dragoon Effect.
And today we're playing through the dreaded Chapter 3. From Star Tropics.
Here to talk about Chapter 3 of Star Tropics.
Storm and Calm.
Back for Chapter 3 of Star Tropics.
The fantastic game, Star Tropics.
The American Zelda.
And I have a confession to make. I'm very perplexed by the response in the Discord.
Well, I'm also here to talk about Star Tropics Chapters 1 and 2, because I missed those chapters. Mostly what I have to say is that y'all had a lot of negativity about Chapters 1 and 2.
I nominated Star Tropics because it's a genuinely good game. It's a game from my youth that I really liked, and I wanted to share it with other people.
I loved it. I thought the dungeon design was pretty cool. I didn't even get terribly upset about trick rooms or trap rooms. I thought the idea of having to jump on the buttons was a cool concept. Not necessarily the most elegant concept, but I liked it a lot.
But it seems like people are very frustrated by this chapter. And I know I have eclectic taste, but have I lived long enough to become the villain of this podcast? Should I embrace that? I mean, I didn't want to make people hate a game, but it seems like that's what's happening. I'm sure that makes for some quality content, but like, I know I'm good at games, but I didn't think there was this much of a discrepancy in people's ability to complete this.
Also, y'all are way pervy about that pig. Like, every single one of you mentioned a pig butthole, and I didn't even know it was there.
Hopefully it's just the trauma of aliens and dolphins in another game.
So I really enjoyed the first two chapters. Really looking forward to chapter 3.
And I'm excited to be talking about chapter 3 of Star Tropics today. And if you happen to be playing along with us, strap in.
I think it's going to be great.
And oh boy, this is a rough one today.
Why are we just covering one chapter this episode and we covered two last time?
We were supposed to do chapter 3 and 4, but after everybody got into it, we decided we're just going to limit this one to chapter 3, and you all will see why in a moment.
All right, chapter 3 is long as hell, so we're going to get right into it.
Because this is a long one, in large part due to the 5 dungeons that they put in this chapter.
Well, chapter 3 has got a lot to unpack.
I don't really know why they paced it this way. It feels like a lot for just one chapter, but here we are, so let's dive in.
So let's get started.
Here we go. Wahoo! Yeah, no, he's not in this game.
Chapter 3, Storm and Calm.
Man, that's an accurate description for this entire game.
AKA the chapter where I kind of started to tune out of the game. Started to get a little bit frustrating for me. I guess the cool kids call it Nintendo hard. I call it, I have better games to play.
Let's talk about the absolute slogfest that is chapter 3.
All right, chapter 3.
There is a lot to cover this chapter, so let's not waste time.
Chapter 3, otherwise known as Storm and Calm, because me and Skelly are calm and everyone else is having a storm.
Suddenly it gets dark and stormy on the ocean. The sea tosses subsea.
A storm suddenly appears and tosses us around.
Oh no!
The sub is wrecked and we wash up on the beach.
The chapter opens with Mike going through a storm in the sub and wrecks it.
And we're shipwrecked.
Uncle Steve isn't going to be happy about this.
My sub has been ruined.
How will we rescue Dr. J now?
Right off the bat, we wake up face down in the sand with the subsea belly up in the nearby shallows.
Chapter 3 opens with Mike washed up on the shore of an island.
Right off the bat, we go through a storm and our subsea crashes, and we see a very cute little sprite of a subsea bobbing up and down in the water.
Something has gone horribly wrong.
Wait, is this Skull Island? Please tell me that this is Skull Island.
It's actually kind of a funny visual. They have the sub flipped upside down and bobbing up and down in the water. It's very clever. It's very cute.
I do love how it starts off silent before the theme finally kicks back in.
So, last time I left, we were all washed up on a beach. I'm not washed up just yet.
First of all, the wandering around, I started to kind of, I don't want to say lose the plot a little bit, but it was, I like wasn't sure what I was doing and where I was going.
Y'all remember, we just recently saved some dolphins and they helped us fix the boat or whatever, and now we're sailing off.
After all that nonsense with saving the dolphins from an alien who turned out to be a giant octopus, we end up crash landed on another island, and this one is a doozy.
But in saying that, I did also say that I was having fun playing this game. But, well...
I really didn't enjoy chapters 1 and 2. I mean, I understood it to an extent, but... You know, it was frustrating.
There is multiple dungeons and stuff to do on this game and hidden caves and stuff, and it's fun.
It was a frustrating time.
There was so much that was frustrating for me about this level.
Chapter 3 is where this game actually gets difficult.
Absolute fun. I love it.
We awaken to find our sub is wrecked.
The screen fades up from black. We see an image of Mike face down in the sand and subsea is nose down in the rocks.
Well, that escalated quickly.
Why didn't I just go underneath the storm? Wouldn't that make sense to go... All right.
And this fucked me up because I broke at the end of chapter 2. And by that, I mean, I like went and did something else for a week. And when I picked up at chapter 3 and I was like, wait a minute, is my boat wrecked? Part of the problem of taking breaks while you're playing a game.
This is why you don't give licenses to 15-year-olds.
And I can almost guarantee that our insurance is not going to cover this.
Wait, what about Rob? Is he okay?
And we have to go find someone who can repair it.
And then the little guy in the robot says, from now on, you have to walk. And I gotta tell you, that's not a thing I want to f***ing hear ever.
And now we just have to walk everywhere.
All right, back to walking across this island.
It's always strangely calm after a storm. From now on, you have to walk.
From now on, you have to walk? Well, now I'm off my game. Now I'm just thinking about all the walking I gotta do.
And we're down to 3 hearts. Again.
So, like, I was already in a bad mood.
Great.
I don't know about anyone else, but I'm pretty sure submarines are pretty difficult to repair and require special equipment. I don't think they have that on this island. Or at least we don't see any of it, but we go look anyway.
After your sub crashes, you find yourself waking up on a beach on the overworld. Which is a good time to talk about the overworld in this game. It's lame. It's real lame. Nothing happens on the overworld. It's just a point-to-point thing. But in terms of a way to convey that you're exploring a larger space, I think it works. It just doesn't do anything very interesting with that idea.
I'm going to explore around the island. There's a house nearby.
So I'm going to wander over to the nearest little house here.
There's a lonely hut next to our beach position.
Pretty quickly, you come into a hut.
Which houses a single milkman who offers us some coconut milk.
And find some kind person who gives us some coconut milk.
Partway into the island, a kind old man offers us some coconut milk.
Oh, hey, I found an old guy and he gave me a drink.
You look tired. Here, drink some coconut milk.
And apparently coconut milk is the thing that you need to heal in this game.
And I feel much better.
We take a sip of it and we feel much better, healing our hearts all the way to full because once again, we started with only 3 hearts.
How nice.
Personally, I don't like coconut milk.
An old man forces you to drink coconut milk, like the worst substance on earth, and somehow it makes you feel better, which is how I learned that Mike is actually a demon.
I don't like coconut anything in general. There's coconut and piña colada, right? That's like the only thing with coconut in it that I like. I don't hate it, but here we are.
Is that safe?
Should I
just be accepting drinks from old guys in shacks?
So immediately after the crash, we walk to a nearby hut and there's a guy who feeds us coconut milk. I know we got to keep things tight because it's a long chapter, but I just have to mention the coconut milk guy because he's like, hey, you want some milk? And of course we say, yeah.
All right. Well, here we go.
The lonely milkman tells us to go to Miracola and we might be able to find someone to help us fix our sub.
And then tells us to go to Miracola to have our sub repaired.
Good to know.
I don't know how we're getting the sub to Miracola. Probably dolphins.
Chapter 3 starts out with the sea sub wrecked on the rocks and we need to seek help from the nearby village. But to get to that village, we have to go through the first of several dungeons in this chapter, a tunnel to reach Miracola.
I don't know where to go but a nearby cave in the mountains.
First of all, we have to travel through a little mini dungeon to get to the town of Miracola.
And so we head west through the first dungeon of very, very many.
I was very much under the impression that the dungeon that you encounter on your way to Miracola was the dungeon for Chapter 3, and this had me liking Chapter 3 a lot.
Immediately after Milkman, we hit the first dungeon of this session.
All right, time to dungeon it up with my yo-yo. For those of you familiar with Rankin Bass, that's funny.
Now, a quick reminder before we get into the thick of it. As you go, make sure you are still checking all the floor tiles for pressure plates and hidden switches, otherwise you will more than likely miss out on essential items and hidden pathways. This could save you many moments of frustration later on.
Ah, but wait, I've got to the end of the dungeon.
And hey, there's a secret room in here with a staircase.
I've activated a door which goes north.
The switch along the upper wall will open the door to the north, and this will take you to Miracola.
Wonder where we're gonna go. Is it taking us... Is this the end?
Or you can do what I did and go see what lies to the left.
But to the west, there's another room. And in that west is a set of stairs.
There's a staircase over there.
Ooh, secret passage.
Oh.
Where does this take you? Back to the entrance.
There's also a new gameplay mechanic. If you head west, you actually find a way out. And it's the wrong way out.
Oh, I'm back outside near where I went in.
God damn it.
Congratulations, you have found a fake exit.
Oh, so you can leave the cave with the stairs, but you can't go back in.
What the hell?
I think I'll take the stairs, says Bill. Fuck you, developers.
This game trolls you so hard.
We go through a cave and there's a fake exit that would make you restart.
What? And this was near the end of the tunnel?
How mean?
I know that this is supposed, like, this was designed as a Zelda clone, but they've added jumping mechanics, okay? It's supposed to be like the Western Zelda is how they went about designing this game. But Zelda never had false exits that take you out of dungeons or trap rooms that just kill you straight out. You know, there were rooms where you'd get trapped in it and it was a dead end and it'd be full of enemies, but you could kill the enemies and get out. That's not bullshit. This is bullshit.
And this dungeon also has a fake exit.
You can find false exits that will spit you back out at the very beginning, forcing you to do the entire dungeon all over again.
Which, if you leave, it just puts you on the wrong side of the damn mountain.
Oh, I guess it's a shortcut for us to go back to the coconut milk guy if we ever need to.
You find this flight of stairs that leads you out of the dungeons and into the mountains of the overworld map. The only problem is you can't turn back, which means you now have to go back and through the entrance and start the dungeon all over from the beginning.
And so you have to go through the dungeon again. What the fuck, Star Tropics?
What the actual...
It is about this point when I decide that I'm going to start making liberal use of the rewind feature.
Good thing I have save states.
Because, frankly, I don't want to do that again.
Okay, this is going to be a long night.
And that's what keeps me from calling this a good game, because otherwise I think it would be.
Zelda's slightly bullshit where you have to sort of set fire to bushes and walls and bomb walls and, you know, you don't know where they are and you've only got a candle that has one use per screen. That's bullshit. But this is super bullshit.
Like, I'm like actively liking this game, even though it's really fucking hard.
Putting a fucking exit that takes you out of the dungeon, meaning you have to go right back through the dungeon to get out of it again.
It's way better than Zelda 2, Bill.
You assholes. You absolute assholes.
What the fuck, Star Tropics?
His controls, Mike's controls, are still gompy as crap.
Again, the controls are dog shit.
I mentioned last time that despite some early elements of Nintendo hard in this game, it felt like the training wheels were still on. Well, now they're starting to come off.
Mike cannot jump and move at the same time unless you're going to another platform or between screens.
I don't think I can be funny about it. That maneuverability issues are just too shite.
It's like he can't do more than one thing at one time.
And here is one thing that really bothers me. I feel like when you change directions, like if you decide you're going right and you decide to go up instead, you have to press it twice to make Mike face that way first and then move that way.
And you have to face a certain way before you can jump or do anything.
And it's really fucking annoying.
What the fuck, Star Tropics?
We find this cave and wander into what I can only assume is the third dungeon.
But first, we've got to go through a short little cave, and what in the blue kokobo?
Next, we've got to go through a series of caves full of dodos.
And immediately get attacked by a flock of vicious man-eating dodo birds.
Oh, hey, dodos! That's great.
The first thing we encounter when we get into the cave proper is a bunch of blue dodos running around. Seems they haven't gone extinct after all. They've just relocated to the South Pacific, or wherever the hell this island is.
We encounter some blue-feathered, white-beaked dodos, which we mercilessly bash back into extinction for the sake of progress.
I thought this was a pretty fun dungeon. I enjoy that it didn't just have buttons to get out of rooms, but also had a button to get to a chest. So like, there's like, oh, you're now getting not just progress through exploration, but rewarded for doing extra exploration, which I think is a very cool idea.
Then we find a hidden switch that unlocks a chest, giving us a pair of bolos.
There are some bolas in a chest a bit further in.
Oh, by the way, you get projectiles like a bolus sort of thing.
Time to swing some balls.
But we do find that double ball on a rope weapon.
You get a new item, not the baseball bat, but like a lighter golf ball projectile weapon.
And that shit.
By the way, I still own the championship of ladder golf, so nobody come at me for that. In real life, I mean.
They do the same amount of damage as the yo-yo, but they have full screen range, so they'll be more useful at a distance.
You have to judge when things are going to be there. If they're hopping all over the screen, you just can't. You can't predict that. It's not the kind of game for it. It's not designed that way. It's just terrible.
And we also encounter some ninja monkeys.
And some ninja monkeys?
Which are just some monkeys with wings.
Up next are some winged monkeys.
When I was listening to the manual episode, everyone was very excited about these flying ninja monkeys that were featured in there.
Ninja monkeys?
And we get our flying monkeys too.
Things are about to get weird.
It's a lot of like murder the animals in this room and the door opens dungeon.
I'm not sure why the dungeon is infested with flying monkeys from the Wizard of Oz, but it's fine. It's fine.
You come across some jumping monkeys. And again, Elise was helping me a lot.
Oh, hey, flying monkeys. All right, let's also beat these things into extinction. They can join the dodo.
And at that point, I had actually already finished the whole game, and I could not remember ever seeing those. Like, I had no idea where in the game those showed up. Turns out, they show up right here in the first dungeon of Chapter 3. So that's kind of cool.
One of the first challenges in this dungeon are a couple of rooms where you have to jump between strips of land and take out a bunch of winged monkeys, like the ones from Wizard of Oz.
And the next room, you guessed it, even more ninja monkeys.
And then some more ninja monkeys?
They can be a bit difficult to pin down as they like to hop across the gaps, but the bolas will make short work of them if timed properly.
Okay, so I've got to time out these disappearing blocks.
What?
Anyway, we pass all of those and we find a nice little pond room.
Oh god, there is a terrible room in here.
Up ahead is a room with snakes surrounding a chest containing more bolas.
We've got a room set up where we are completely pincered by snakes.
One of the key gameplay features that the game doesn't really talk about is the fact that you have to jump over enemies.
The trick is you have to jump right as both snakes lunge at you.
And by over, I mean you have Mike jump up while an enemy runs underneath him. And that's your best way to dodge some of the upcoming obstacles.
Now, if you time your jump properly, you can leap over them and avoid damage. I did not.
There's not a lot of room to be able to really to navigate here. So I have to take some damage while they kind of pincer in on me.
I was save-sitting like pretty much every room. I learned my lesson from the first two chapters. Just every time you complete a room, make a save state and then keep moving.
But we get through it.
It's especially helpful when we get to a four-way intersection with a treasure chest in the middle, surrounded by snakes. I definitely was able to expertly jump over the snakes and snag the treasure without getting hit. Nope, not once. Not even just a little bit of damage. If someone, not me, because I'm an expert pro gamer, did get hit, there is a little bit of health in the next room to help you recover and keep you in the fight.
I think I mentioned this last time as well, but there are sinking tiles that you have to almost pixel perfect jump across.
And we get one of the most frustrating challenges in the entire game, the disappearing blocks.
It's got a disappearing block that we have to time correctly.
You have to jump across them at the exact right time. Or not at all.
Because Mike doesn't know how to swim.
When you have to cross a series of them, you need to time your jumps before the first one actually rises in order to have time to get across all of them.
It's really unforgiving, and I don't know how children completed this.
He's on a holiday on a series of tropical islands, and he can't swim. I have so many questions and concerns.
Thankfully, in the room with the sinking platforms, you can gain up to 4 hearts to refill your health.
And oh, there's hearts. Okay, great.
Again, check those floor tiles or they won't appear.
Oh god, more of these skulled ostrich things?
Then there are these zombie ostrich things up ahead.
Another Switch Club favorite enemy is the Bonehead, which is a big pink ostrich with a human skull for a head.
But anyway, we're going to head into a room with some, you guessed it, dodos and skeletal cassowaries.
Boneheads, I think they're called.
There's also a new enemy that looks like an ostrich with a human skull for a head.
And a human spine for the neck.
Ew.
We got like dodos, we got Wizard of Oz monkeys, and you remember the weird ostrich with the human skull from the manual?
This dungeon also introduces us to an enemy that is, I think, the reanimated skeleton of a chocobo, maybe?
Yeah, they're hanging out in here.
The ostriches with the skull heads.
This dungeon is also the first appearance of the, like, skeleton flamingos. You know, they have the flamingo body and the skeletal head that were featured in the manual as well.
It's just a skeleton with bird wings just hanging out.
Holy shit, those mutant zombie flamingos are no joke.
It is very fast, aggressive, has a ton of health, and does a lot of damage. Oh, and it can jump over platforms, too.
Yes. Fantastic looking creatures.
These things are really tough. They're very tanky. They take a lot of hits.
They're more durable than anything we've encountered so far.
They take significantly more yo-yo strikes to take down, so you can't just face them up and start swinging away.
Just like the wrath of the dodo birds or the chickens from Zelda, these things will F up your day.
But they can still be taken out pretty easily if you keep your distance.
You need to get a few hits in and back off. Stick and move. Stick and move. They feel like this game's version of Darknuts from Zelda.
Now things start to get fun. We have a room with a darkness gimmick.
The f*** is this? The lights go out and then I gotta try and remember where to jump?
Okay. The dark room's a little much.
Then into a room that goes dark as soon as you enter, and you have to try and remember where to go.
Sons of bitches.
This dungeon also has the first dark rooms, which are... everything in this game is comparable to Zelda. You walk in the room and it's dark.
Upon entering, you have a very brief window of opportunity to see the floor layout.
But it is lit up for a split second before it goes dark, so you kind of have to take like a mental snapshot.
And then it goes pitch black.
Guys, who turned off the lights?
I actually kind of like these rooms. I think it's a neat little puzzle because you can exit back out of that room. And when you enter, the light is on for a second or two. You can have a quick look and then away you go.
And so it's up to you to try to navigate through this room, make dangerous jumps over certain death and fight enemies all in the dark.
What the fuck, Star Tropics?
It's kind of a fun little puzzle. And if I was playing this when I was younger, I absolutely would have like made a map of it and I would have had so much fun.
Okay, I think I figured out how, okay, the lights come back on if I jump in the right place.
And the joy you get when you nail a puzzle like this, oh, it's so good. So I actually do like these rooms.
Hop on that first tile above you to turn the lights back on and avoid fumbling around in the dark.
But that's annoying.
I will say, now having gone back into the dark room and paying attention to what it looked like, as long as you don't jump, you won't end up in the water.
So I jumped around, found some switches, turned on the lights, and tested all of the green blocks because you never know what's going to be under one.
Always try to remember where shit is
when you're going into a brand new screen.
And then if finally we open a door and we just pop out into the tunnels of Miracola.
I got the rum and Coca-Cola.
The first dungeon is pretty straightforward. Other than the skull-headed ostrich things, most things were pretty easy to take out with just the yo-yo.
The problem with this chapter, chapter three in particular, and I haven't played past this yet, is that there are five dungeons. There's no story development. It's just five dungeons. And they're difficult and at least helped me quite a bit. And yeah, and I don't know if I would have been able to get through it without a guide and save states and rewinding and shit. But I did do it.
No, oh, I made it out and found the town of Miracola.
Wow, you've done it. Boy, I'm going to be saying that a lot during this episode.
So ultimately what happens is your ship wrecks and you have to walk into a little hut where a bartender hooks you up with some coconut milk. Take the coconut milk and it replenishes your health and you walk to a new village, Miracola.
So I go back, take the correct exit, get out of that cave and enter Miracola Village.
Turns out that dungeon's tiny though. It's not actually the dungeon of this chapter. It's just a little obstacle you get involved with on your way to Miracola.
We approach another small town and see a tall peak in the distance across the water.
After that, we get to the village.
After Dungeon 1, we make it to Miracola.
What's up with the naming conventions here?
Is everything gonna be a cola in this game?
Is this just like the Cola Archipelago or something?
Really? Everything is a cola? Oh, God. The village that you go to really annoyed me.
I like it here. People give me coconut milk when I look tired.
Miracola Village was really weird.
This town also has another coconut milk kid.
So we're wandering around a labyrinth of palm trees now, talking to strange folk along the way.
We finally make it to Miracola,
which is a big village. In fact, I think it's actually probably the biggest village in the game.
And I talked to a couple of the NPCs.
They're so nice.
Then we run into an NPC that I can only describe as an 8-bit Danny DeVito in a red thong.
Do a little bit more wandering around. There's another villager that gives me more coconut milk if I'm low on health, so that's nice.
A milk boy who offers us coconut milk to help restore our health after that dungeon.
He feeds you coconut milk.
Along the way, I come across this brave sailor, so he says.
My favorite is the brave sailor kid.
He saw you in your sub, and he wants to do that too.
That wants to come with us on our adventure.
Who wants to come with me until he finds out we almost died at sea.
And then Mike tells him about how he almost died in this big storm.
And then we tell him how we nearly died about 20 minutes ago and got into a shipwreck. And he decides that he doesn't want to join us anymore.
And he quickly decides he's going to stay behind.
You almost died at sea? I'm getting seasick. I better stay here.
And there's this awkward moment where the guy's like, maybe not. I'm good.
Good plan.
I was wandering around in the woods and I found a guy who wouldn't talk to me. He's like, fine, I get it. I'm probably covered in monster blood and undead chicken beaks, so I wouldn't talk to me either.
Everyone here is just in budgie smugglers and bikinis. This is great.
I also meet Miss Mira 1990.
Oh no.
Who the hell is organizing these pageants?
We're now given an impossible choice.
I met Miss Miracola, and she asked if she was prettier than Miss Coral Cola. And it was so awkward.
We must choose between Coral and Mira. Oh boy.
You literally cannot leave the village unless you pick her, so I don't know what the point of this is.
This kind of feels like playing Mass Effect and trying to choose who to romance. I don't know if I can handle this kind of pressure.
And it's also where you get kind of the plot for the chapter.
And there's some girl here who is asleep and we need to wake her up. Princess Zelda? Is that you?
Find out from the locals that the chief's daughter, Vandanette, is ill, so better go find and talk to him.
Our chief loves his daughter very much, but alas, she is sick.
I'm still looking to get the sub fixed, though. I don't see any ship repair docks or mechanics.
So this guy blocking this other hut just randomly decides to let us in?
And in the Miracola, you discover that the chief...
I don't know, Chief White Cola?
Chief Miracola.
Whatever the fake chief's name is.
We got Groucho Marx and a caveman?
There's also a guy in the chief's hut who's just like, hey, I'm just hanging out. You probably want to talk to that guy, which I just think is very funny.
The guy with the Hitler stash says, I'm just hanging out.
He's the chief of Miracola.
All right, so we find the chief of Miracola, who looks just like the chief of the other town, except slightly different garb.
Wait a second. This chief looks identical to the chief of Coracola.
And then at this point, I finally clocked that all the chiefs look the same.
So this guy looks exactly like the other chief, except with a fake handlebar mustache, an afro, and a tribal sash thrown over his shoulder.
And Elise told me that, well, they're probably all brothers. I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Are all the village leaders related?
Maybe it's a different fake chief. I'm having a hard time keeping track.
Chief Miracola says,
I'm Chief Miracola. I've heard of your courageous adventure.
I've heard of your courageous adventure. Please, can you help me?
Ben, his daughter is sick or sleeping or something. I don't know.
He has a daughter.
Ben-Annette.
I think her name is Ben-Annette.
My dear Ben-Annette.
Who's Ben-Annette?
Ben-Annette.
Bernadette? I think that's wrong. Ben-Annette.
Ben-Annette is sick.
I did find the chief, though, and he's got a sick mustache.
In Miracola, the chief's daughter is very sick.
And she has been sick for a long time, and she will not wake up.
Ben-Annette has fallen into some sort of coma.
She's gone full, like, Sleeping Beauty.
The chief tells me that a year ago, many shooting stars appeared in the sky.
1 year ago, many shooting stars appeared in the sky, and suddenly dreadful lightning flashed.
And then lightning flashed, and his daughter fell asleep after the lightning storm.
And there is a lady here who she's been sleeping for like a year because she got cursed by the shooting star omen or something.
So we have to go get something to wake her up? I don't know. Plot devices. Move on.
A year ago, there was this huge meteor storm, followed by a lightning storm, and the chief's daughter, Banana-na-na-na-na-netta, won't wake up after it.
I wonder if that was the shooting stars that old mate saw in Coracola that were the omens of disaster.
The chief says there is a rumor that a mountain hermit knows healing spells.
All right, it seems I'm off to find a hermit who's going to teach me a song or something to wake his daughter up.
Anyway, he's got a sick daughter. He wants me to find a mountain hermit.
A hermit person, not a hermit crab.
It's up to you to help him out by retrieving something to help her.
And they want us to go find a cure for a coma. I don't know why they expect a kid to be able to do this, but they do, I guess.
Then there's this guy standing alone in the corner with purple hair and a Speedo. You try talking to him and he's just silent. That's not creepy at all.
There is like a sequence of events that you have to do here.
Some say a mountain hermit lives.
Lives where?
Who has healing spells.
There's rumored to be a mountain hermit that has healing spells.
You must find him.
Oh, well, that tracks.
So I guess let's set off and see if we can find that old man.
So, oh, that's the guy who wouldn't talk to me before, so I go back to that guy. Now, suddenly, he'll talk to me. And he tells me, I gotta go talk to the sick girl first. Oh, great. Why the fuck did the chief tell me to go talk to the hermit when the hermit's like, go talk to the chief's daughter? Great. Go back to the chief. The daughter is upstairs. Okay, where the fuck are the stairs?
When we're in this place, we notice the stairwell and a back entrance. But I can't seem to get back there.
There is like a hidden path to get into the pyramid.
Where are the goddamn stairs? Could not find the stairs. At this point, I'm like, your daughter's gonna die, man, because this is too annoying. I don't want to do this.
Seconds later, we find the back entrance because, you know, we're starting to catch on to what this game thinks is a clever puzzle.
If this was a side quest, I'm telling you, your daughter would be dead of whatever it is you want me to save her from because I can't find your friggin' stairs. Yeah, you gotta go all the way around outside of the house to a, like, hidden back door to get up the stairs to save your daughter. Dude, you could have told me all of that before I ran out into the woods.
We head upstairs.
Yeah.
I love how this guard is just like, oh, you're Mike.
So the chief is like, hey, if you go fix my daughter, I can fix up your submarine because I guess he's really good with technology.
And if you do help her, the chief is going to rebuild your ship.
This guy didn't even give us a chance to answer a fake choice.
Turns out, not an optional quest. You have to do this.
Anyway, he says that if we can wake up his sleeping daughter, he'll fix my sub.
Also, I don't know how much help this guy with no pants will be when it comes to repairing my advanced submersible vehicle.
I mean, yeah, I'll help if I can, but I'm not so sure I trust this guy living in a straw hut to fix my submarine.
But I guess we don't have anyone else lining up to do it. Maybe Mike shouldn't have skipped shop's class. Anyway.
Yep. Righto. I'm not trying to find my abducted uncle or anything. You just over here bribing me because you're too lazy and scared to find the hermit yourself, just relying on a 15-year-old with a yo-yo who can't swim.
Honestly, though, I'm super worried about Rob the Robot. I'm way more invested in his subplot. But,
Oh, and you go talk to the daughter. She's asleep.
Are we sure this isn't Zelda?
Jesus, is she okay?
Zelda's often asleep, too.
She's asleep. Doesn't even know you're there.
Is she even alive? She looks purple. What the f***?
Doesn't even know you're there. Just still gonna talk to her.
But you have to go talk to, like, everybody in the town. Which just gets... It's... okay, cool. It makes you interact with everybody so that no dialogue goes to waste. But come on, just let me move on.
We make a quick visit to see the sleeping daughter because they wouldn't let me leave without seeing her, even though nothing happened.
And then I go back to the hermit for a third time.
And there's this one dude that won't even talk until you complete it.
Suddenly, that weirdo in a Speedo from before just moves aside and says, good luck.
And he says, good luck. Oh, boy.
And she is just fully passed out. She's been crushed or some shit.
He'd like you to find a mountain hermit who might be able to help. In exchange for helping him, he'll fix your sub and you can be on your way.
So that's our new goal. We got to somehow manage to wake Banana Net.
So that's our whole plan. That's our goal for the chapter.
Okay, so now I have my task.
Oh, if this is one of the games where you could murder NPCs, I would be committing many, many crimes on Star Tropics Island. I would be a murderous 15-year-old kid. Because, Jesus, that was annoying.
Go talk to the guard in the upper right, exit the village, and make my way back down into the caves.
On our way out of town, someone warns us to not go to Shikola.
All right, we get a warning about the castle of Shikola that we need to stay away from it. Okay.
We're also told explicitly to avoid going to the castle of Shikola, which I'm sure is advice we will 100% listen to.
I wonder if that's an all-female city. It's been so long since I've played, I don't remember for sure.
And this is just the walking around part of the game. This isn't the part of the game that's Nintendo hard. This is Nintendo annoying. That's what this was.
So, to head towards the Hermit's Mountain, we're off to the next tunnel.
And into the next cavern.
The Magma Tunnel.
Oi, oi, oi.
If you're a fan of this podcast and want to keep this show going,
help support us on Patreon,
where you can unlock tons of great content like
early access to ad-free episodes,
behind-the-scenes clips,
extended cuts,
blooper reels,
bonus episodes,
and a chance to pick the game we play next.
Join our 1-Up Mushroom League,
our exclusive DK Island Club,
or the Hylian Royal Family with the power of the Triforce.
Just head on over to patreon.com/thesuperswitchclub.
Link is in the show notes.
So now what we're going to do is head into a little dungeon.
So after leaving town, we very quickly end up in another dungeon.
We head out of town into dungeon 2.
Okay, so we enter another set of mountains, and now finally we're in the dungeon for chapter 3.
We start going through dungeons.
But off we pop into our new set of dungeons.
Like, it's just dungeon on dungeon on dungeon on dungeon in this chapter.
It's another cave full of a bunch of dang old monsters.
Where we are being introduced to killer bees. Wu-Tang!
The bees. Oh god, the bees!
No, not the bees! Not the bees!
Someone still has that sound clip, right?
I'm losing my eyes! Ah!
These goddamn bees.
And we got another new enemy here. They're gigantic flies who fly at you, as the name might imply. But they, like, fly diagonally, so they're kind of a pain in the ass.
I use the bat to take them out.
What the f***?
And then we're going to be introduced to upside down crosses and boneless ostriches.
And I can throw my yo-yo at the skeletal cassowaries.
You know, it's got some imagery going on there for sure.
You got a lot of repeat enemies here. You've got those snakes. You've got those skeletal chocobos. And you've got, you know, a little bit of puzzle solving, a little bit of timing-based platforming. Things are going well.
We have to pass through the Molten Tunnel dungeon in order to get through to the next area with the... one of my favorite towns, the Lady Town.
And things are about to get just a little bit more difficult from here on out.
There's little secret passages that make you redo the stage over and over again. There's a little bit more hit damage happening here. You got more platforming action happening. It's starting to rev up. It's not yet at the, oh my gosh, this is frustrating, because that is coming, but not yet.
And this is the moment, the very start of this dungeon, where I became a godlike pro gamer. I finally have become Skelly.
There are a bunch of cobras?
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
There's a room as soon as you walk in, right? You've got three snakes on one side, three snakes on the other, and there's a path through the middle, okay? You can't go around the outside, because they'll just go that way as well, because you know what they're like, snakes. As soon as they see you, they go for you, across the room, fast as possible.
And as we talked about last time, cobras just look at you, come straight at you.
The secret to these f***ers is you gotta first run and jump past them to dodge them. But you gotta get them to run up and down vertically while you dodge side to side horizontally and then hit them from the side as they're passing you by.
I jumped over the foot. They're like, so it's like a trap, you know. He's just like, so far I've always treated snakes as I'm gonna take a hit, you know, especially in some of the rooms where they've got crisscross corridors and stuff. It's like, I'm gonna take one or two hits, but I'll survive and I'll get past these guys.
What you're meant to do is jump at them, but they're so fast it's hard to retaliate immediately.
This was it. This was my moment. I jumped three times in a row going forward. I jumped over each set of snakes as they crossed underneath me, and I got to the other side of the room without taking a single bit of damage. I took a picture, put it on the Discord. Pro gamer Bill, all right?
And we just run past a gauntlet of snakes.
We're doing the best we can.
I'll have no more questions, please. I am the best.
Early on in this dungeon, we see our first totally unfair room.
I fight my way through more snakes, more zombie ostriches, and now, oh great, back in a dark room.
This one has several rooms where it shuts the lights off.
We come into a dark room that actually has a bit of a trick to navigating it.
Man, there are some rooms in here where you enter and you can see what everything looks like and then everything goes black.
All right, I'm in another room where the lights go out, but how am I supposed to know where the...
Then we get this insanely frustrating part where it blacks out everything and we gotta figure out how to navigate in the dark, avoid falling in the water, and take out these snakes and octorocks.
Where the fuck am I supposed to go?
And how the fuck are you meant to go through here?
Because half this room, I couldn't even see.
You can't see at all, because the second after you set foot in the room, the lights turn off and there's just snakes.
I think after I finished all this, I figured out that there's an item you can get that you can use and it will light up these rooms. But man, if you don't know to use that or anything else, you're just playing trial and error on the original Nintendo.
It's completely dark, and you have to make several jumps over water that you can't see.
I'm just blindly jump. Nope, that's not where you jump.
I tried jumping forwards, and then just instant death. I tried going to the bottom of the screen, and there was nothing there.
God damn it!
You have to watch the enemies closely.
The only way you can tell where the land is relative to the water is by where the snake enemies will move.
And you have to watch enemies to figure out which places were safe to stand on.
Alright, how do I turn on these lights? Spider-Man, turn off the dark! I believe in you!
If you pay attention, you can see how close they get to Mike and where it is to safely jump across.
There's a cute puzzle room in here where it's like a really long dark room, but there are some enemies that like move on the tiles, so you kind of had to like figure out where the tiles are based on where the enemies are moving. I thought that was cool.
God damn, that was pretty brutal.
Okay, I don't like that aspect.
I don't even really mind the dark rooms because it's like, it's pitch black, but as long as you're playing on the Switch and have rewind, it's not that hard to recover if you make a mistake, and it's kind of a cool idea.
I got there in the end. I did make myself a map of this section with the correct paths and the death paths.
This is where I start save scumming, because seriously, I'm a grown man, and I don't have time to trek back to this room after multiple game overs.
Thank God for the rewind feature that we have, though.
And yeah, I used rewind, because of course I did.
I do not like this whole, you get to appear in a dark room, and Good luck figuring where shit is.
I found my way by a lot of trial and error, and I finally got to that light switch, though.
There's a bit of a puzzle here. You have to bait the snakes off to the side into charging at you so you can see which one comes close enough for you to jump to its path. After you deal with those, keep an eye on that Octorok. Follow its path exactly to be able to safely cross to the other side in the dark.
I still kind of like these puzzles. They are fun, but just, ugh. Sometimes I'm not in the mood for them.
The lights come back on, and I pick up a baseball bat and a slingshot.
I am several hearts down now. But I found a slingshot and a baseball bat, so that's something.
Oh hey, we get a baseball bat and a slingshot.
Good to have some options.
Next, there's these giant asshole mosquitoes, and they kept killing me until I finally realized that's literally why the game just gave me a baseball bat.
Quick side note, if you hop on the bottom tile next to the slingshot and jump down, you'll enter a secret room where you can find a bottle of medicine. I did not find this. I learned about it later. Cross some sinking platforms, check those tiles, find some hearts, and then take the staircase down to the next floor.
I really like the design of this three-tiered staircase into the basement of Doom. That was a pretty clever way to do that.
We end up going into a basement, which is full of lava for some reason.
There's a bit of a transitional effect where you climb stairs going deeper underground, and as you go, the water starts to turn more and more red until it looks like you're just surrounded by magma.
And oh no, is that boss music I hear?
So once you get through that dungeon, you're going to go through another one that leads you into like a lava world.
Okay, I'm now in a red place.
I can't tell if the water is supposed to be lava, a river of blood, or just a sewage problem. Is this Flint, Michigan? Somebody called the EPA.
And as we go through more dungeons, we finally arrive at a section that has lava pit monsters.
And we go up some stairs in this dungeon, and then it's a lava dungeon now, and there's like a big lava ghoul who shoots lava at us.
It's just full of lava.
The big twist in this dungeon is that you take a set of stairs further and further down into the earth until you reach kind of a magma level. And then you have all these magma-based enemies down there that are pretty challenging, as well as some jump puzzles.
And we've got these little lava monsters.
By that, I mean, like, just monsters made out of lava.
Next room has these small volcanoes in it that launch fireballs at you, essentially turrets.
I guess you just gotta dodge these fireball-shooting volcanic anthills.
The water becomes red and black.
With lots of red water and red... I found the red room! Someone call Black Widow in that horrible movie plot. I found it.
So we descend into the molten cave.
Out of the frying pan, into the fire. There's lava.
I'm not doing great on health so far, and that's when Mad Muddy shows up.
Swamp monsters that are probably my favorite bad guy up to this point in the game.
There are these big creatures coming out of the ground. They look like red grimers.
And we're introduced to enemies that live in the lava and pop out and throw fireballs at you.
Oh, good.
He looks like the unfortunate love child of the shit demon from Dogma and Hedera from Godzilla vs. the Smog Monster.
A muck monster that's just throwing shit everywhere.
Very rapidly.
Essentially turrets.
Oh, God, lava monsters. It flies.
Those are fun.
And yeah, I'm now convinced that that's not water. Someone's septic tank is overflowing.
Can I kill the muck monster?
They can be kind of annoying.
Okay, now I'm getting assaulted by this weird lava creature that's flinging fireballs at me. I'm getting war flashbacks to that fucking pufferfish from the last dungeon.
I bet Mike is really starting to rethink his life choices right about now. Mike's Journal, 1990. I met some more strange half-naked people. I'm now knee-high in a river of poop, dodging fireballs, mutant mosquitoes, snakes on meth, zombie flamingos, and the shit demon from Dogma. Armed with a brittle baseball bat, a fucking slingshot, and a goddamn yo-yo. Worst tropical vacation ever.
And they're kind of a pain.
But actually, they die quite easy.
They're a bitch.
I managed to hit it on accident, and it went down in a single hit, so there's that.
You know, one little shot from the, one shot from my slingshot. What's he got? He's got a yo-yo. That's it. Bloody yo-yo. Forgot what it was. One shot from the yo-yo, and the damn.
If you were in my stream, you would have seen that I spent a long time trying to dodge these monsters' fireballs and figure out the puzzles that were in their rooms at the same time.
But honestly, you're better off just running from it. Get out of there.
You are loaded up with arsenal. You have bolas, like 40 bolas that you can just throw across the entire stage. You've got a slingshot that does a power shot. You've got your baseball bat, and this level, y'all, use that stuff, man, because it's not going to be needed later.
I hit a checkpoint back in the second B room, but now I don't have any of my weapons or my medicine, and I have half my health. It was this exact reason why my brother would always run up to the NES and hit the reset button if he died. When you die, you get put in such a bad position. If you reset the system before the game autosaves, you can just continue from the checkpoint with all of your health and weapons and items. And that's how we used to do it back in the day. Not as good as the save states that they have now, or the rewind feature, but you know, we make do.
But I realized that you can jump on stones on the side to scroll up to the next screen, and you don't have to kill any enemies to use them. So I guess we're just going to be running from enemies for this room.
And this is where we also get our first extra mic. There's a little pause screen mic holding up a sign, and you walk into him, and he's like, great job, plus one.
We find a try your luck sign.
Oh my god, this game is so goddamn cruel.
A lot of people were confused as to what they actually did.
I just found one of those trust your luck signs, and it's like rolling a die in D&D.
This is how you either gain a life or two or lose a life or two.
There is a sign with Mike's face on it that lets me try my luck. Let's see how I do. It took away a life.
But I somehow rolled a negative number, and instead of giving me lives, it took one away.
Don't like that.
The effect is completely random when you pick it up. It's almost not worth grabbing the damn thing. But of course I do anyway, and I get a plus two, because I'm just that awesome.
Let's try that again. Rewind. This time it gives me a life. Much better.
So much platforming!
And there is one room with a big lava ghoul shooting lava at us where we can go either left or right up a path.
There is a second bullshit trap room in this dungeon as well.
Following the left path of two, and I was jumping north.
It's like a jumping... It's not really a jumping puzzle. We just like jump across the tiles.
And you have to time it just perfectly to jump onto the first one before it's even really showing up.
Man, even with save states, this game is unforgiving. Your timing has to be pitch perfect. And if you die, back to the goddamn start.
If he dies, he dies.
There's two paths I can take, one to the left, one to the right.
I thought that I could take either the left or the right path to continue.
Where am I going?
I was wrong.
I decided to go left, see what's up that way.
All right, so I'm jumping up the left side, and I scroll up to the third screen.
And if you go up the left path, you're like, heck yeah, I got a 2 heart piece. I healed up a little bit.
There's some hearts, and apparently a free lava bath.
And then you keep on going up the left path, and then when it hits the screen transition...
And immediately fall into lava.
And you just jump into the fucking lava.
And watch as Mike foolishly jumped into the bone-strewn lava around him.
Oh joy, another instant gotcha death.
It just drops you into the magma and you die immediately.
That's a dick move, Star Tropics.
God damn it.
You just die if you go left?
Like, don't just kill me.
I fucking hate these.
The developers still love that. They think that's a great trick.
It's a good thing I started save scumming.
All right, do not go left. Go to the right. Keep moving. Losing my patience with this fucking game.
More trial and error. Great.
I found some flies.
There's more flies in the next room. I decided to try out the slingshot here.
I swatted the flies.
It has twice the damage and range of the yo-yo, so if you're careful, it is a better option. I was able to line up a better shot by dodging to the side.
And then found a stopwatch.
Of course, after the fact, I jumped on all the panels and one gave me a stopwatch, second tile to the left on the bottom row. I rewound to see what it would do, and it freezes all the enemies in place. Shame I didn't find that first. Again, I cannot stress the importance of checking all the tiles. You will miss some helpful stuff.
You know, sometimes what I really hate about this game is I don't always jump from the block.
Check the tiles before swatting the flies, because the stopwatch stops everything in the room for several seconds. Ugh.
I'm holding the direction, and Mike just jumps in place. He doesn't actually go to the block I want him to go to.
I totally jumped over the lava monster and his fireballs, and then over some disappearing blocks, which I actually really enjoy too.
After reusing Rewind 6,000 times to jump across these goddamn sinking tiles surrounded by the skeletons of those who drowned in the lake of toxic shit, we find ourselves at an empty hallway leading to the third boss.
Once you finally get to the ending, to where the final boss is.
Okay, I think I found a boss. The fuck is this?
There's a lot to unpack here.
Ah, looks like we made it to the boss.
Eventually, you climb your way up to the boss fight of this dungeon, who's like a flaming genie shooting fireballs at you while other fireballs spin around the room.
Then we get to the magma boss, which was actually quite difficult.
He's actually a really cool boss.
Why is he, what?
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that this is the final form of our mega-pissed shit demon, because it looks like an angry Hindu god manifested from a fountain of brownish sludge.
He's f***ing farting.
Not born shit into existence.
What is that thing?
Lunatic
excremental, the Golgothan.
A what?
A shit demon!
No man of woman war.
That's gross. WTF.
The boss is a giant monster engulfed in flames, shooting fireballs.
He is a Japanese oni, like a traditional Japanese oni with the stylized flames all around him.
And then we hit the boss of this level, who's a big lava man shooting little lavas at us, who also has little lava buddies.
He's this big lava demon.
I get bombarded by flies on the way out, so I enter the boss chamber with one heart. Great.
Whoever summoned this abomination needs to own up to it and start helping with the cleanup, because holy f***. This thing is like the final boss of cleaning dirty diapers.
But now I'm in a huge lava monster boss room, and this is a bad time.
Now we come up to Magma the Fierce, the giant fire monster.
And the guy is sitting in the middle of sort of this little island.
But he's like by a pool of water.
There's a lot of blocks that you have to jump around.
So much jumping, and Mike doesn't fucking jump. He just stays on the block.
There's two swirling fireballs, and the dude is lobbing fireballs at you.
Good thing I found my own set of balls to throw at him.
The controls are gompy. Mike doesn't move.
So since I've mostly used up the baseball bat by this point, I'm going to assume that we're going to go ahead and use that slingshot on this foul-smelling elder god.
This lava monster is not friendly, and there are little fireballs that float around and get in the way here, too.
It's this weird fire dude who is impervious to weapons.
This dude was a cool design.
Do not come into this area with some health on board. You're going to die, and you're going to have to repeat the process.
And the trick of the combat is that it's all about jumping.
God, I don't like this game.
Between the bees and the magma monster, which is basically the freaking machine level from Echo the Dolphin, where you have to memorize every move you're going to make ahead of time.
Now, this was a weird one.
This boss is a little bit different.
I mean, at least it's different.
But I keep jumping around, and eventually I find some switches.
We have to find two hidden switches which cause platforms to break.
You have to sometimes release the D-pad so that he jump and then press the direction again and jump so that he moves. Otherwise, he just sits in one place jumping.
The way to beat him is to go find these blocks that activate switches, and they'll deactivate these two little pillars that are holding him up.
Trying to sort of get round him, because you have to push the two buttons on either side in order to make him fall into the water.
So we got this big fire elemental sitting on a platform between two red crystals. It's constantly spraying a cone of fireballs at you, the angle of which changes depending on where you're standing.
It starts just slinging turds at us, and we dodge it like our life depends on it.
And there's a pair of flames circling the path that lead to said crystals, so getting around is that much more precarious.
You've got to do a lot of jumping over fire to hit some switches around the fire monster.
So it took me like 3 goes to realize I didn't have to attack him.
Oh, and I haven't even told you the best part yet. Your weapons do no damage to this thing whatsoever.
Wait a second. Did I not need to waste all my weapons on this thing?
It turns out he's actually also invincible to your attacks. Like, you can get up there with the yo-yo and hit him as much as you want, and it does nothing.
This is a puzzle boss.
Oh, I just needed to hop on all the tiles till it died? Huh.
I just had to get these other buttons down.
The controls for this game, holy shit!
Watch those fireballs, time your jumps carefully, and good fucking luck.
And then, yeah, you actually had to walk around him. And, like, I just couldn't figure out a way of doing that without taking damage.
No.
I collected, like, 2 potions on my way through the dungeon. Just used them as I was going past him. It's just like, keep my health up.
You know, it's one thing that the game trolls you, but then it tricks you, beats you down, and laughs at you while you cry. This game stole Zach's lunch money.
And I'm not playing on the Switch. I'm playing on an original Nintendo controller. For the Mini.
Seriously, though, cut that guy some slack. He's not even playing this one on the Switch. So if any one of us is a true game master, it's him.
It shouldn't be this bad.
Godspeed, Derby.
The trick to cooling off this hothead is to destroy the two crystals next to him by way of 2 hidden switches. The tiles that reveal these switches are located in the very top left-hand corner of the room and the bottom right corner of the platform the boss is standing on. So you better hope you've brushed up on your parkour.
And then I guess that we detonate the little island thing that he's sitting on?
Anyway, we kill him, we step on some switches, and then he falls into the pool of water. This boss fight kind of sucks.
That's so cool!
And maybe by solving the pollution crisis through violence, we somehow also cured the girl of her affliction. Maybe? Hopefully? I mean, honestly, this might actually kind of make sense if this really was a shit demon that we then vanquished. That might maybe cure the contaminated well water problem that they're clearly having.
And once you finally get it down, his platform disintegrates and he falls into the water.
Because he just kind of goes out. Like, his flames die and he's just a dude underneath.
And he becomes a naked demon baby man.
Probably just a dude named Brad.
And then it falls into the water and he's like flailing his arms.
On my second attempt, I was able to give him a nice bath and I enjoyed his screams of agony.
And he's like, he's gonna die. He dies.
Drops him in the water where he just dies.
We flush this flaming piece of crap down the toilet.
And then once he does die, you leave and you get rewarded nothing.
And that was it. I'm filing out into the next area.
Okay, I'm not going to tell you how many fucking times I had to restart from a save state to beat that fire douche canoe.
Keep in mind that I only had one heart when I got in this room, so I was at this far longer than I care to admit.
This is the point at which I started using save states heavily, because dying would take you several rooms back with only three hearts, and so getting back to him, much less fighting him again with three hearts, is a real challenge.
I did enough rewinding to make Blockbuster blush.
You don't even have to really fight him, but I used way too many rewinds to figure all that out.
And then, of course, you die enough times, you game over, you're back at the start of the dungeon, and honestly, I just don't have time for that. So, save states, way to go. Basically, from here on out, I'll be save stating every couple of rooms.
Took me a bit to also figure out where the all the buttons are.
I don't know how anybody would play this without save states, to be honest.
But after enough attempts, I finally managed to dunk this son of a bitch. Enjoy your bath, you flaming hot Cheeto.
Finally beat him.
That opened up the dungeon, and we can escape and make it over to She-Cola.
We finally head up three flights of stairs and find the end of the dungeon. Tunnel?
Yeah, dungeon one, dungeon two, not that bad. There's a mean joke in each of them, but, you know, I got over it.
But eventually, we dunk him in the water, flames would go out, he dies, and we move on.
It just gives you access to the next area, which leads you to the castle of She-Cola.
The Lady Castle.
So yeah, that was chapter three. We went through two dungeons, we talked to everybody in a town, we fought a flaming genie, and then it keeps going. The chapter's not over yet.
And it turns out, we're only about halfway through chapter 3.
To be continued!
What the fuck, Star Tropics?
You too can be part of the Super Switch Club. It's not too late. Head on over to probablywork.com/SuperSwitchClub to join today. Submissions are always open. The Super Switch Club is a production of the We Can Make This Work, Probably, podcast network. Find more of our other great shows at probablywork.com, including Podcasters Assemble, and check out our Discord page. All games featured are available to play on the Nintendo Switch Online Virtual Library. This episode was edited by
Frost and Eric.
Thank you to everyone who was able to contribute to this episode. Links in the show notes.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.